Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Royal Ascot. You join us on Wednesday morning for our preview of day three, Thursday's action. At this stage, we don't know what's won the Wednesday races, but we'll assume all the lads here tip plenty of winners and are going into day three with plenty of confidence. Joining myself, Lee Mottison. I've got Racing Post colleagues Lewis Porteous and Tony Hare, and from my lovely sponsors, Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binfield. Thursday is Gold Cup Day, the signature race of the whole meeting, but it starts, Paul, with a very different sort of race, the Norfolk Stakes, 5 furlongs for two-year-olds. Wesley Ward has the betting?
Yeah, absolutely. 15-8, Shang Shang Shang. I don't know a lot about that horse, but heads the betting. 4 Conchek, 6 Vintage Brew, 10 the Paddocks, and it's 12 Barley.
Okay, Tony, Shang Shang Shang. Is this one that appeals to you?
Well, look, Paul, I wouldn't be sort of red hot on the form of the horse. We've one runner in the race, Landforce, and he certainly doesn't jump out at you as a likely winner. Would say one thing about him. Last year, Aidan O'Brien won the race with Sioux Nation, who was coming back from 6 furlongs, won the race. This horse, similar sort of profile, won his maiden on heavy ground and was third behind a couple of stablemates in a listed race at the Curra. I could see him running in the sort of first three, but I wouldn't be jumping in to back him. I think he's a fairly big price too.
Yeah, Tony, you say we have the one run. Do you feel as patriotic going into Royal Ascot as you would the Cheltenham Festival?
Probably not. But I mean, that's why you have me here, isn't it? To talk about the Irish horses.
Absolutely.
You don't expect me to know the form of the English ones inside out.
Well,
let alone the Americans.
You do know the form of the English horses, though, very well, Lewis. The Norfolk Stakes.
Yeah, disappointing really, only 10 runners, I thought it would be a bigger field. Shang 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 won a dirt maiden, so first time on turf, has breezed well on it according to Wesley Ward. Skips over fast ground, he said, but he wouldn't want to see any rain, so that one should be fine.
Do you know Wesley? Well, you seem to have the inside track on it.
He does.
Dinner with him last night?
Won't get that far. We had a good chat before the meeting though, and so I got the lowdown. I like Vintage Brute, Tim Easterby's horse, won the National Stakes. I thought with a little bit in hand, was strong at the finish, which will suit on this track. I think it was sold the other night, on the eve of the... So I'll have new colours. But Tim Easterby's having a cracking season, and this is a really, really fast two-year-old, and I quite like Vintage Brute.
Yeah, Vintage Brute was sold at that Gough sale on the Monday night. But if you're a racing fan, if you had a horse like that, had won a National Stakes and you had the chance of going to Royal Ascot with a leading player, would you be tempted to keep the horse or sell?
I'd sell, Lee, because I'm skint. But funnily enough, I was just talking to an owner who's got a horse in a two-year-old race on Saturday. Him and his two partners were offered quite a bit of money for the horse, and they've... relatively well off, but they've just opted to keep the horse and go for the challenge. Three lads from Greenock, they don't think they'll ever have a horse like this again, so they're looking forward to it.
That is a sort of romantic tale I love to hear. The Ribblesdale Stakes is not the second race. The second race is a Hampton Court Stakes. Intentional slip there. Mile and a quarter for three-year-olds. Paul, how'd you bet?
Here we go, 4 Key Victory, Lee, 9-2 Hunting Horn, 7 Nordic Lights, 8 Crossed Batten, and it's 10 Bar. And I must just quickly add, we're at incredible 4 places each way for those lucky punters.
4 places each way?
4 places each way.
How should we take advantage of this, Lewis Porteous?
You've got two options here. You go for one of the unexposed types, or you go for something with more substance. I'll be in the latter with Hunting Horn, Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, was running in the classic trials, then finished 6th in the French Derby. Now back down to a Group 3. I just think he's got that. He might just have a class edge over some of his rivals, and we'll find this a bit easier.
Yeah, it's a funny sort of race, isn't it, Tony? You've got horses with very little form in the book, meeting those who've got plenty of form, yeah. Like Hunting Horn. He doesn't look to be in the upper echelons of the Ballydore 3-year-old brigade. Is that fair?
I think that's a very fair comment. He ran okay in the Prix de Jockey Club. Finishing 6th, and he had been placed at Chester and in the Classic Trial at Sandown. It's a Group 3 race. He's solid horse. Credentials. Yeah, I'd give him a very good shout in the race.
He's not one you expect to see racing for Joseph over hurdles at Leopardstown in December.
Hopefully not.
I'm sure Aidan and the lads are hoping for the same thing. Paul, who wins the Hampton Court?
Well, actually, I'm going to agree with Lewis. Hunting Horn, as Lewis said, dropping class. He's run in a couple of Group 3s before that. He wasn't beaten very far in either of those. So I think he goes in at that level with a solid chance.
Hunting Horn is the tip then in the Hampton Court Stakes, which ends part one of this podcast.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Royal Ascot as we look ahead to day three of the meeting, what used to be called colloquially Ladies' Day, but now Ascot doesn't like it to be referred to as Ladies' Day, so we no longer refer to it as Ladies' Day. Lewis, the big fillies race on Ladies' Day is the Ribblesdale Stakes. You've been previewing it this morning for the Racing Post. What have you gathered so far?
The more I look at it, the more I think Wide Illusion could be one of the best things of the weeks. Horses are usually placed in, maybe run fourth or fifth in the Oaks, do well in this. She was second in the Oaks. I think she's sort of £10, a £9 or £10 clear of the rest on official rating. She's got a £3 penalty for the Boussac win last year. But it's rock solid. It's classic form. I just think she might be too good for this lot. Couple of unexposed ones, some maiden, hacked up in that Salisbury maiden, was an oak, talked of as an Oaks candidate, and Sir Michael Stout, always respected. Another one I quite like is Dancing Brave Bear, who was second in the Musidora, smaller yard of Ed Vaughan, but it's a double figure price. I wouldn't put anyone off backing that each way. However, I think Wild Illusion might just be too good for this lot.
Okay. Benny, before you give us the prices, would you generally be someone who looks at the Ribblesdale Stakes and thinks that Oaks form, such as Wild Illusion has got, is a positive, or would you tend to try and avoid Oaks horses going into Ribblesdale because of the gap between the two races?
I think I'm going to go with the Oaks form lead. Wild Illusion was backed as if defeat was out of the question on Oaks Day. And she still ran a really good race, you know. I think Lewis might well be right. We make her a 9-4 favourite, 3-1 Sun Maiden, 4 Magic Wand, 8 Athena, and it's 10 bar. Yeah, I'm actually going to go with a horse that ran in the Oaks. Perfect Clarity for Clive Cox. Won the Lingfield race, the Oaks trial well. Soft ground at Epsom was against her, and I think she could be worth another chance each way on much better ground.
Okay, Lewis, that 9-4 then, given how enthusiastic you are about Lardley, does that get you very excited?
Yeah, we'll have a chat in a minute, Paul. I think that's a really fair price, actually, I really do. Yeah, she's professional, she's a Group 1 winner at 2, nothing else can boast that. Yeah, get on.
Get on, says Lewis Porteous. Tony, will you be getting on?
I don't think so. No.
Brought the mood right down.
Aidan O'Brien runs 4, and I think Magic Bond, who was 4th in the Oaks, is definitely the best of them. Athena could be an improving filly, and when his fillies start to improve, you don't know what to expect, really. But Magic Bond, when I was down with him early in the year for the Stable Tour Federation Post, he suggested her as a dark horse. She came out and won at Chester, ran okay at Epsom. I know she has plenty to do to turn around the form with the favourite, but she did finish 4th, and I could see her very much in the shake-up.
What did you make of her Epsom run?
I thought it was a little bit disappointing, but, I mean, there's still scope for improvement. She hasn't got much racing behind her. I think she could improve and, as I say, be in the money. Whether she's good enough to win the race is another matter.
Okay, we'll find out at 3:45 on Thursday. 3:40 on Thursday. Is it 3:45 or 3:40?
It's 3:40, Lee.
3:40. We'll find out just after 3:40 on Thursday. At 4:20 on Thursday, the biggie, the Gold Cup, the greatest equine flat marathon in this land. Paul, how do you bet for a Gold Cup that's low on numbers but big on quality?
Big on quality, you're quite right, Lee. 7-4 Order of St George trying to regain his staying crown. 15-8 Stradivarius, 5 for Zirabad, 10 Torcedor, 12 Desert Skyline, it's 25 the rest.
So the Paddy Power odds compilers marginally have Order of St George in front of Stradivarius. Are they right in having done that?
I think they probably are. But I should once again mention money back if Order of St George or Stradivarius wins. £10 maximum per customer, but still
the conditions
apply. Yeah, but what an offer, Lee.
Yeah,
what an offer. Yeah. Order of St George just touched off last year, wasn't he? Won it the year before. Very creditable contender, but so Stradivarius. So can't separate them by much.
Okay, Tony, Order of St George won the race 2 years ago, nearly won it last year. Pipped
by an orange, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Pipped by an orange. Yeah. That's very good, that.
Yeah, well, maybe he might have won. Maybe he was a bit unlucky. Ground-wise, he goes on it. He'd probably be better if there was a little bit of ease, but he's a pretty solid horse. Sort of plenty of group wins behind him. His two prep runs just showed, you know, he's in good form. He wasn't overly impressive now the last time, but I think this has been the day they've mapped out since this time last year. And respect Stradivarius and the French horse as well, but I think he'll deliver.
I spoke to someone this morning about the Gold Cup, and they just said, without wanting to be named, that they just wondered whether last year, under pressure, he maybe gave as much as Big Orange. Is there anything that you would think, maybe on this sort of quick ground, that might lead Order of St George not to put it all in?
I don't think so. No. I think he's good enough, and I think he'll handle the ground. Yeah, he's won on fast ground before.
Yeah.
Jessica Harrington's horse, Torcedor, won the Cigar of Stakes. He's a good stayer, going up and trip. Maybe a little bit of a nip about the ground for him.
Right. It was good win last time, wasn't it? Look, yeah. Dingy's an improved horse from last year.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think he's an improved horse, all right. He's never gone the distance before. But she's got an each way chance. I know Jessica fancies him quietly to run a big race. He probably will, but I'm sticking with Order of St George.
Okay. Lewis, I've not heard much yet about Stradivarius. Assess his chances.
Place in the ledger, Goodwood Cup winner, chasing the £1 million bonus as well. So that's a lie for that one. Just a class act, and achieved a lot at three, and with the promise that there could still be more to come. So it's a really fascinating race. Only 9 runners, but tactically it's going to be interesting, where you've got Zirabad and Order of St George probably hanging off the pace. Torcedor, when he won the Cigarro here, was very prominent. He skipped round that bend and was away from him. It's going to be interesting how they play this. I said the same last year, that if Order of St George comes wide and goes straight past him, it's over. If he gets eyeballed, I'm not that convinced about the horse. That's my view. It's flick a coin job. I'm not going to get heavily involved, but I'm a big Zirabad fan. I've been in Dubai and seen him, and people say, oh, it's going to be too fast. The ground in Dubai, where it's sunbaked, is always fast. It does not bother him. He's one of those rare stayers that's got a turn of foot, and I think he might be the one, but I could put 3 or 4 up, to be honest, but I do like Vizirabad.
Anyone like Desert Skyline or anything else in the race?
Yeah, I'm a big Desert Skyline fan, Lee. David Ellsworth, uncharacteristically, has been bigging this horse up a little bit, I think. And, he won the Doncaster Cup as a 3-year-old, and the extra distance will suit him. I think he's a big prize.
Okay, and of course, David so nearly won the Gold Cup with a marvellous Persian Punch, about which I did write a book a few years ago, which if you look hard enough is still available at a very heavily discounted price. This brings to an end part 2 of our podcast.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello one and all, and welcome back to Ask, as we now look ahead to the final two races on day 3 of Royal Ascot. Joining myself, Lee Mottershead, we've got Tony O'Hare, Lewis Porteous, and Paul Binfield from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And Paul, the Britannia, not an easy one for your trips to price up.
No, not easy at all, Lee. And I think Paddy must have cracked his head. We're going six places each way.
Which six?
Six places. Incredible value with Paddy.
Amazing.
Anyway, it's 8-1 crack on with Georgia Hearts. 9 Sam Gold, 12 First Contact, Curiosity and Corrosive, and 16-1 Bar.
And do any of them jump off the page to you?
Quite like Bond Street, actually, Lee, a double-figure price. Won nicely at Leopardstown recently, and before that he ran well in a competitive Curra handicap, so maybe he's won.
Okay, Bond Street for Paul. Tony?
Aidan O'Brien has three in the race. James Cook and Full Moon being the others. James Cook running in his first handicap. I'd agree with Paul, Bond Street probably the best of them. Landshark is interesting. Jessica Harrington's smart sort last season. Lightly raced, ran in the Irish Guineas, so it was probably a bit much first time out this season. But I wouldn't rule him out, but Bond Street probably the pick of ours.
Okay. Lewis, the Britannia Stakes, fiendishly difficult.
Yeah, very tricky. I like two from Hugo Palmer's stable here, Curiosity and Corrosive. Both lightly race, which seems to be the trend with past winners. I spoke to Hugo this morning, he said he couldn't split them. I would probably come down on Corrosive if I had to say one. Course and distance winner, surely on its way to better things. Both drawn high, so they're either both be very well drawn or they both won't be. But Curiosity and Corrosive, two against the field for me.
Okay, and then we move on to, in some ways, the identical race by the 4 furlongs more. Again, for three-year-olds, the King George, the fifth handicap. Binners, Godolphin horses towards the four.
Yeah, that's right, Lee. 11-2 cross-counter, 7 Dube, 8 first 11, 9 Communicate Baghdad, 11 downdraft, 14-1 Bar. Last advert from me, 5 places each way, Lee.
5 places each way. Tony, amazing. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's terribly generous.
He's very impressed. Give us a winner.
Give you a winner. Well, I'll just mention the two Irish horses. Downdraft of Joseph O'Brien's, 2 from 3 this year. Won at Navan last time out, but he's gone up £8, so probably has it all to do. Lucius Tiberius, Aidan O'Brien's, running in his first handicap. Won a maiden over a mile and a quarter. He could improve and could be there or thereabouts. But it's a race, going back to the record books, we don't win. I can't find an Irish trained winner of the race.
Not one? Huh? A little one?
Not a little one, no.
This is, it might change. Might change on Thursday. Lewis, did Wesley Ward have a view on the King George V?
He didn't. I'm afraid not. How dare he? I think it's the latest one off the Gosden winning production line, this first 11. Won well on similar ground at Newbury. He's progressive and on the round course. He's got the good draw as well. Frankie up again. Another one for John Gosden.
Excellent. OK, best bets now on day 3 of Royal Ascot. Tony O'Hare.
Not very original. Order of St. George in the Gold Cup.
If it wins, we don't care. I am saying George of Hearts in the Britannia. Paul Binfield, you are saying?
Perfect clarity in the Ribblesdale Stakes for Clive Cox.
And I think I know what Lewis Porteous is going to say.
Wild Illusion.
Wild Illusion for Lewis. And Paul, the Queen's Hat colour on Gold Cup Day?
I'd go for a little bit of yellow, I'd say, Lee.
A little bit of yellow for Paul. Thanks a lot, guys. We're back tomorrow looking ahead to Friday at Royal Ascot. Till then, goodbye.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. Begambleaware.org.